Mary Pippin.
Goes holding but duty reminds me of you. The song of the past bring back memories of you. I always remember the first night we met. The song they were playing, I never will forget. I always will treasure them so close to my heart. Those oldies but goodies reminds me of the wonderful memories that our Lord once knew. For these songs are just a symbol of the love that I had for you. Those oldies but goodies reminds me of you.
Reminds me of you.
Oldies
but goodies reminds me of you.
Little Caesar and the Romans and those oldies but goodies. Hello, everybody. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we are saluting the oldies but goodies today. We're going all the way back at our time machine to June 15th, 1957. It was a warm day in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The city powers that be had decided to observe the 50th anniversary of the state of Oklahoma becoming a state, that they decided to have a time capsule. Downtown that day, they put a 1957 Plymouth Belvedere into a steel vault of all types of documents about 1957. Then they buried it. This was a time capsule that only if you were around in 1957 you would understand. In the 50s, we had indeed a love affair with the car, especially the hardtop two-door coupe. There was the 57 Chevy, Ford had a version, and then there was the Plymouth. Why the Plymouth? Well, I think it must have been politics. One of the reasons we had a love affair with cars back then, gasoline was 30 cents a gallon. They will find, among other things, 5 quarts of oil and 10 gallons of gasoline. I guess they thought back then that in the 21st century, maybe we would not be using the combustion engine. Obviously, since Tulsa is the oil capital of the world, they underestimated the power of the petroleum lobby. So in observance of this puzzling ritual taking place in Tulsa today, June 15th, we have decided to visit the world of the 50s and the 60s. We're putting an emphasis on the media because we have as our guest Mike Miller. Mike was a radio DJ at KTUL Radio, then later in the 60s, he did the 10 o'clock news. Actually, he did it on all three network TV stations. No, not at the same time. Back then, you could change in the market pretty easily. In fact, that's how you got a raise. Mike has a book out that's really a great read. It covers those early days in Tulsa and later his work in Washington, D.C., where he worked with many of the media and political giants of our time. The name of the book is How High Can I Stoop? We have a link to it if you'd like to buy it from Amazon. Mike joined us for a wide-ranging chat, but he didn't join us in Tulsa, nor in Houston where he now lives, but right here in my hometown of Muskogee. That's a bedroom community of Tulsa. The Chamber of Commerce here will love me saying that. In a moment, we're going to bring in Mike, but, you know, 57, I remember every day at 4:45 on Channel 8, Dick Clark had 15 minutes. That's all All-American Bandstand lasted at that time. He had a Saturday hour show, but every day at 4:45 for 15 minutes, it was American Bandstand.
We're going hopping, we're going hopping today. We're things of hopping, the Philadelphia way. We're going to drop it on all the music they play on the bandstand. We're going swinging, we're going to swing in the crowd. And we'll be clinging and floating high as a cloud. The phones are ringing, my mom and dad are so proud. I'm on bandstand. Now jump and hey, I may even go with my handstand. Because I'm on the American bandstand. When we dance, we'll slow the show. I won't play out in the grandstand. What a swinger I am on American bandstand. We're going hopping today. We're things are popping, the Philadelphia way. We're going to drop it. I love the music they play on the bandstand. I'm making my mark. Chief is joined, is jumping. They hate such a fun, it's just to see us arrive. Hey, it's Mr. Dick Clark. What a place you've got here. Swell spot, the music's hot here. 70 East, give it at least a 75. Now for all you chose, it goes by American Handstand. Because I'm on the American bandstand. As we dance, we'll slow the show when the guys in the grandstand. That I like my girl, but I love American bandstand.
Mike Miller, it's a pleasure meeting you in person.
Same here, Jerry. We've talked a lot on the radio.
But, yeah, we did. A lot of time. And we used to do when we were on the KBIX years ago, we used to talk when you were in Virginia.
Right.
We used to talk politics, and you were our GOP representative.
I brought balance.
Yes, yes, kind of.
Unbalanced balance.
And in addition to that, we talked about the Binion trial.
Right.
Because you had a career not only in Tulsa Radio and Washington, D.C., radio and TV, but also you were involved with Senator Chick Heck out in Las Vegas and other people. We'll get into politics in a little bit.
Right, that's how I got to meet the Binion family.
Yeah, you and we had some great Binion stories, I know.
Oh, Binion. It's still in the news occasionally.
Well, you know, those days in Las Vegas were somewhat like those days in radio and television back in the 60s.
Absolutely.
It was character-driven, personality-driven, and there were a lot of characters around.
A lot of characters. And, you know, the golden age of TV in Tulsa is so different. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of saying, well, this happened, you know, before I can remember, and I'm not interested in what happened at Channel 2 or Channel 6 or Channel 8 in Tulsa or any other station back in the 60s or 70s. But they really are missing a slice of life that'll never be repeated.
Well, yeah, this book is very interesting, How High Can a Guy Stoop? And I want to talk to you about the title in a moment. Because you really deal with the life behind the scenes.
Right.
And you tell a lot.
I know. I hope I haven't told too much.
Are you in trouble yet?
Not yet.
No one's called you up and said, Miller, why did you tell that story?
No, not yet. But that probably will happen. I did run portions of it by some attorneys, and they studied it, and then they didn't have a clue on whether I'd get sued or not.
Yeah, right.
So anything can happen.
Well, I doubt.
I tried to leave out names where I might hurt somebody. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want to hurt anybody, but I think people.
Yeah, you left out the one name I was looking for, and that was the porno movie incident.
Oh, right. Well, now there's a good example of the golden age of television. I doubt, seriously, I don't know for sure, but I doubt that a lot of people today working in television produce porno movies in their spare time using station equipment and and sometimes people, other employees. But, yeah, that was one of the parts that ran by an attorney. I was afraid to use the call letters of the station involved. Because I thought maybe...
Because they would narrow it down.
Well, yeah, they might say, well, you're damaging our reputation. Even though the station's changed hands, ownership, and everything, nobody there anymore. The lawyers didn't have a clue whether I could or not.
Well, and, I don't either.
But, you know, in those days, you got away with what you could get away with. And I remember my boss at one station said, actually told us at a staff meeting, you know, get away with whatever you want. But be prepared to pay the consequences if you get caught.
You worked in Tulsa Television, Tulsa Radio originally, grew up in Tulsa. Your dad was in show business.
Absolutely. He ran a dance studio for years on East 15th Street. It was called kind of Dancing School Row, about four or five dancing schools, ballet and all that, in one little area of Tulsa. And now he also was a theatrical booking agent. And he booked acts and was affiliated with AGVA, AGVA.
The Variety
the Union. Yeah. And he, during World War II, my dad, Lou Miller, formed an organization called Hey Rube that performed, entertained the troops at Chaffee and Gruber here. Muskogee area, and then other camps eventually in Louisiana and other states. One of his participants was a singer named Patty Page, who worked for $5 a show in those days.
$5 a show. Yeah, and we've had Patty on the air, and she's still working.
Yeah, she has a website. I've seen her website.
And she has a brand of syrup she sells.
Is that right?
Yeah, like Patty Page syrup, because she lives up in the Northeast now.
New Hampshire. Anyway, here's Patty Page. We'll be back with Mike Miller in a moment. Patty Page and one of my favorite songs from the 50s called All My Love.
I give you all my love. The skies may fall, my love, but I will still be true. All my sighs will disappear at last. Now that you're here at last, my heart belongs to you. Never let me go. You thrill me so. I can see, as I recall my life, I've waited all my life to give you all my love. I caballero and tip your sombrero to your señorita, the lovely Chiquita, waiting so long for you and your song. While you are playing, her heart will be swaying. She will surrender her kisses so tender to you. She will cling the moment that you sing. Oh, my love, I give you all my love. The skies may fall, my love, but I will still be true. All my sighs will disappear at last. Now that you're here at last, my heart belongs to you. Oh, never let me go. You thrill me so, I can see, as I recall my life. I've waited all my life to give you all my love.
Very talented person. You know, we did some shows about those old Camp Gruber days back in World War II on our Memories program. And it's amazing how many people came through that Camp Gruber.
Oh, yeah.
And now, when we talk about your dad and his career, he originally worked in New York on Broadway.
Yeah, that's right. He was an acrobatic dancer in vaudeville. And I think he hurt his back doing one of these somersaults or whatever and ended up having to teach dancing. And that's he moved to Oklahoma City. He saw an ad in the paper in New York that a woman named Catherine Duffy was looking for a dance instructor willing to move to Oklahoma City. So he took the job, and then my mother grew up in Staten Island, New York.
Well, when I read your book, your dad had played vaudeville in Amarillo and Tulsa and places like that, so I assumed he just liked it here, but that wasn't the case.
No, he ended up just taking this job there, and he met my mother, who had enrolled in his class. And my mother also had a little interesting background. Her parent died during the big influenza epidemic, uh-huh. You know, and in, what is it, 1918 or something like that? And she ended up in an orphanage in Kansas, a Catholic convent, and had actually became a nun and left right before she was scheduled to take her final vows. And so my father was Jewish and my mother was Catholic.
She later converted him.
She converted him over, yeah.
And we may get into that story. You had polio when you were young.
That's right. When I was nine, my mother was really responsible for me walking again because she had left the church to marry my dad, who had been divorced. And I was in Hillcrest Medical Center, and the doctor said I'd never walk again. I was 9 years old. And she decided to fly up to Chicago and to some shrine that she had a special interest in, and made a pledge to the Lord that if I would walk again, she would come back to the church, even if it meant leaving my dad. And when he went to pick her up at the airport, when she came back, he informed her that the doctors had just informed him that I'd walked up and down on my bed, mm-hmm. And then they rushed to the hospital, and I did an encore for them.
Yeah, you had an interesting story about driving all the way to Santa Monica to the beach.
Muscle Beach,
and that it was a long trip back in those days.
Oh, it took 4 days. Old 66.
But when you got on 66 from Albuquerque west, you did still nothing.
Nothing. I mean, nothing. You just drove and drove and drove, and a lot of part of, you know, of the desert part of the trip, you had to drive at night because we didn't have air-conditioned cars in those days.
Yeah, so the roads were busy at night.
Oh, yeah.
In the 60s, this was a hit TV show. and a top five record. Heck, number one, many places. Nelson Riddle, Route 66.
Talk about tap dancing. We can't get past this without mentioning that Bob Lozier, who a lot of people know regardless of where they live, due to his anchoring at CNN Headline News for a long time. In fact, Lozier wrote his own book.
That's right. 5 Seconds to Air, I believe it was called. Mm-hmm. And Bob and I are good friends. He was one of my pupils when I was teaching dancing part-time to pay for my way through TU, University of Tulsa. I taught myself to play a few tunes on the piano, so I was teaching and playing piano, accompanying at the same time. And I think they were like, must have been fifth and sixth grader, you know, in that age bracket. And Lozier was one of them. He reminded me of it later. But, yeah, he had quite an experience himself, I guess, over at CNN Headline News. And became a victim of office politics.
Yeah, well, that happens.
It does.
This business is rife with that, unfortunately. But a lot of places are, a lot of different fields. We'll get into some of the other names that people know about, because I want to discuss not only your Tulsa career, but, you know, you got some pretty interesting stories about when you went to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it was a real education for me. I was in Little Rock at the time, and I had been news director of Channel 11 and Channel 7 earlier than that, and I'd gotten fired from both of those stations. It wasn't my fault. At Channel 7, the news director who had been there before had left to go to work for a congressman, and he'd made a deal with Jimmy Lake, the owner of the station, that if he didn't like it, didn't work out, he could come back. They never told me that, so he didn't like it and came back, and I was out of a job.
Well, yeah, we've had Jimmy Lake on the air before he passed away, and you actually speak very glowingly of Jimmy Lake most of the time, other than we all know he liked to watch the pennies and he loved his antique cars.
Yes, he did. Most of the money, I think, that he had went into the cars rather than the TV stations. But no, he was always very nice to me, and I always liked Jimmy Lake. But anyway, to get back to the political thing, I decided after going through these jobs and being fired for no reason at all.
The news director, especially back in those days, and probably still the same way, that's kind of like a fighter pilot. That's a job that had a high attrition rate. They had to blame somebody,
right.
And so usually they just bring in a new news director.
Yeah, I think it's. I always kind of visualized it like it's like a football coach for a baseball manager.
Yeah.
You know, they can't fire the players, so they get rid of the manager.
Yeah.
To make, you know, usually ratings, so much of the ratings are due to lead-ins. You know, what's the programs that's on right before the news or after the news. And I remember the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson used to be the big draw. And so if you were on an NBC affiliate right before he came on, a lot of people would tune in early. And just,
well, yeah, that worked on almost every market except Channel 2.
Yes.
In Tulsa.
Two, yeah, Channel 2 was...
It usually was always third.
Always third. But I decided at one point just to get out of the news business and get into something more stable like politics.
Actually, let me make up the Channel 2. They had a great show on Saturday nights called Fantastic Theater.
It got good ratings.
Jimmy Lake, he had a car show in conjunction with the 57 Plymouth Time Capsule. There's a big car show going on. And on Saturday night, they have a sock hop. And one of the entertainers will be Bobby V.
They say that you're a runaround lover. Oh, you say it isn't so. But if you put me down for another, I'll know, believe me, I'll know. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes can't help but see if you are true to me. So remember when you tell those little white lies that the night has a thousand eyes. You say that you're at home when you phone me, and how much you really care. Though you keep telling me that you're lonely, I'll know if someone is there. 'Cause the night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes can't help but see if you are true to me. So remember when you tell those little white lies that the night has a thousand eyes. One of these days you're gonna be sorry, 'cause your game I'm gonna play. And you find out without really trying, each time that my kiss is free. 'Cause the night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes will see me through. And no matter what I do, I could never disguise all my little white lies. 'Cause the night has a thousand eyes. So remember when you tell those little white lies, has a thousand eyes.
Bobby V and the night had a thousand eyes, and of course that was true for you, Mike Miller, when you were on television in Tulsa doing the nightly anchor job. Big doings in Tulsa with the Tulsa Time Capsule with 1970 Plymouth Belvedere. Bobby V will be at the sock op on Saturday night, along with the Shirelles and other acts like Fabian. This ends our first half hour with Mike Miller as we have been reminiscing about the 50s and 60s. I would like to take this opportunity to talk to you about a vacation idea for this summer, or really any time, that is unique, different, and affordable. I'm talking about a tour of the Grand Canyon in a van with Marvelous Marv, the world-famous tour guide. Marvelous Marv has lived in the Grand Canyon area for well over two decades, and he will show you things that no other tour guide will, and all the while fill you in on the history and the mystery of the Giant Canyon itself. When you go on a tour with Marv, you get to see the best viewpoints and the best exhibits. He knows this canyon. He knows this area of Arizona. Now on this page, there's a banner you can click on, and it will take you to Marv's website, where you can get all the answers about Marv and his Grand Canyon tour. This is a vacation you will treasure forever. Check it out, won't you? Marvelous Marv's Grand Canyon Tours.